Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody come this way. Let's take care of some business right now. Y'all want to take care of a little business right now? I feel the Spirit of God present and reaching down right now for some soul in this house that's present under my word right now. Somebody needs to be saved. You're thinking, what? You ain't preached it. I don't have to preach. God done sent the message to somebody. There's somebody here right now that needs to sure up their salvation by God. The most important thing we could see happen here today is somebody respond. Somebody follow God's unction of the Holy Spirit, and that's calling you right now. I don't give all the calls. God does. If it's you, you just fall out and come on this way. If it's you, you just fall out and come on this way. We got plenty of time for this. Is it your day? I want to give you an opportunity because I know probably before this service is over, Satan will rob you of that unction of the Holy Spirit of God leading and directing you. And I want you to have plenty of opportunity to know and understand that that's the most important thing. Amen. Anybody else got something they want to say? I'm not in a rush this morning. It'll be short and sweet regardless how long it takes. I tell you what, let's look at the Word of God just for a few minutes this morning. Good to have friends with us here, and friends and family, and good to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know your mind or your idea. You know, I have really enjoyed and loved Christmas this year, but then the other side of that is I'm glad it's over. You know, I've had enough. And we've celebrated the birth of Christ and 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 to the point that, you know, I'm looking and now Christmas is past and behind us for another year. We're looking forward to a lot of new things coming. You know, we've got just a few days and we're going to celebrate the beginning of a new year. And I think about these new year celebrations that we have and New Year's resolutions. I want to take just a minute on this. It won't take long. But how many of y'all make a New Year's resolution? Well, bless y'all's heart. I'm big on this. I think, I know people say, well, resolutions don't last long, but at least one time a year, God gives us a chance celebrating. We look at the past and what's went on the year before, and we look to the year advanced, and we start trying to make a resolution about changing something in our life for the better. You know, most resolutions are for the better. I hadn't heard anybody say yet, I'm making a New Year's resolution to get fat. I ain't heard none of that. You know, most people are looking to improve themselves either physically or spiritually. I think it's a good thing that people one time a year focus and say, God, what would you have me to improve in my life? And I want to make a resolution for the church at New Salem Baptist Church that we improve things at our church. You know, I've thought a lot about this through the last few days, you know. And we'll cover some more of this in a few minutes, but I want you to think about the resolution you could make that you were going to better yourself for God, that you were going to be more involved. See, I've got great plans for this church in a new year. I'm not sitting without a vision of God, of what He'd have this church to be. It's good. I've got no big complaints, but there's room for improvement. I want to see souls saved by God's grace. That's what it's about. Preaching the cross. Preaching Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified on the cross of Calvary for your sins and my sins. Sins of the world. And that's the focus I want us to come in at New Salem for this next year. It's about souls saved. Got a new youth director coming shortly. Excited about that. But that don't mean we, the older folks, can let down or lay aside. We're going to have a position also. As we look into this this morning, and I thought about resolutions, and I had just had this thought in mind about, God, I need to make a New Year's resolution. And I was looking through Scripture, and I came up on Isaiah 61, if y'all will turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1 and 2. or verse 1 and 2. And I got thinking about if I could be in the position Isaiah was in, and he talked about the improvement or how he was going to carry out the service and the work of God that God had committed unto him. You know, as a pastor, I've got a ministry committed unto me, and I want to do the best I can. You know, I've got a desire. Y'all have heard this before. There's one day that I'm going to kneel before Jesus Christ, and I'm hoping to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." You know, that's what this is all about, that we're moving forward for the cause of Christ. In Isaiah 61 and verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." And I thought, what a job, what a ministry a man could have if this was his part and his desire of God. Now, I understand that God can help us with all things. When I started reading about all the things that Isaiah said, "I'm going to do, and I'm going to do the work of God," I thought about how he said up there, he said, "He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto me." But the first thing he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is on me." Now, when we start improving ourselves spiritually, you need that power of God, leadership, guidance, direction for all the things we do. We need to walk, we need to talk, we need to do all things in the Spirit of God. You know, that's very plain, that if we follow and walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when we start looking ahead to the next year for this church, I want to see great things happen. I talked to a friend of mine the other day, talked to John Bradford, and we were talking about, you know, they're out a lot and they sing in a lot of different churches. How many churches you think y'all sang in last year, Sue? Bunches, right? 50? Probably 50 churches that this quartet goes to. And I was talking to Johnny about church. You know, that's what's always on my mind about church, that if you're in the Spirit, you want to talk about church. And I was talking to him. He said, "Well, we go and it's normal, and we go and it's normal, and we go and it's normal." And time after time after time. And then said, all of a sudden you walk into a church where the Spirit of God fills the benches and penetrates the people. And he said, "It's exceptional." And I want to talk about exceptional, not normal, not usual, but exceptional New Salem Baptist Church. That when people come into the house of God, they feel the power of the Spirit of God, that it will draw people through the blood of Jesus for salvation. We've got a focus and we've got a vision for the year to come. You've got too many lost loved ones on their way to hell for me to stay quiet and for you to stay still. I'm convicted in this. Oh, I've been convicted in it hard. Because I want to see souls saved. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about souls saved by the salvation of God. Now, to do this, we're going to have the Spirit of God leading, guiding, and direct us. And Jeremiah chapter 17, a few verses. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." And you know, I read these verses and these scriptures, and when I talk about cursed be the man that trusteth in man, I'm not going to trust in man. I'm not going to trust in myself. I'm not going to trust in your ability, my ability, or what we can do, or our strength, but I'm going to trust in God. And that's what I want to preach to you this morning, that we put all of our own abilities and all of our own strengths aside and say, "God, I need your help this morning. I want you to be my guide and my leader through this next year, the upcoming time at New Salem Baptist Church. I want to be abnormal. I want to be above normal. I want to be just excelling in what God would have us to do." It said, "For he shall be like the hurt in the desert, shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." That wonderful words of God. I'm talking about wonderful words of God that come to us, talking about blessing the man that trusteth in the Lord. And that's where we're going to have to maintain the focus. If we achieve what God would have this church to do in the next year, we're going to have to walk in the power of God. Not our ability, that won't cut it. But the ability and the power of God. And it gives the indication that if we're in this spirit, if we're walking in the power of God, it's unlimited what we can do and the things that can happen in this in us. I think about so many times things that really, you know, set us back or hinder us. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I want you to know that you have the power. You know, you sing that song, "We've Got the Power." You know, and I want everybody here to know you've got power through God to overcome things in the world. It's very plain and wrote out to us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. It said very plainly, "Ye are of God, little children." Now listen to this. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And so we understand about the power, the ability we have to come to God, to seek His power, to seek His strength, that we accomplish the ministry that God has blessed us to have. We've got a ministry at New Salem Baptist Church. We're blessed by God that He said, "You come to me. You've already overcome. You've got the power. You've got the ability, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And I'm talking about that Holy Spirit of God that dwells and lives in us. Praise God. I saw a man yesterday at a funeral. And some of y'all have a hard time understanding this. I'd known him a long time. He's a prayer warrior. We'd pray together a lot of times. You ask him to pray, he's going to get it. But I saw him yesterday lay corpse in a coffin and give a testimony of the power of God to his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. And that's where I want us to be. That's where I want us to be. Now, when we talk about these things, and you know, there's disappointments and fear and lack of faith and bitterness. These are many things that can set us back, or I guess retard us or restrict us from doing the work that God would have us to do. And it sometimes tears down and takes away the ability that we have to do what He wants us to do. So let's work on that just for a few minutes. In St. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, very plainly said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Now, did y'all hear that? "For with God nothing shall be impossible." You know, a lot of times people are looking at it and saying, "Well, I don't know, that may be impossible." With God, nothing's impossible. You know, God can take the impossible and turn it into a miracle, make it look simple. Things that look impossible to us are not impossible with God, because there's no impossibilities with God. And so when I tell you my focus, my vision for this church in the next year, I'm going to tell you it's not impossible, because God says it's not impossible. Not because I say it, but God said it is not impossible to obtain what God wants us to have and what God wants us to be here at the church. Soul saved, life's rededicated. Change the community. I don't want to limit God. Change the world. You're thinking we're off a little church. I ain't worried about it, y'all. It's God. It's God. In St. Matthew chapter 14. St. Matthew chapter 14. Now, just before I start reading, I'm going to go to St. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to start in verse 22. But I want you to think about something. I want to give this message of God to somebody here this morning. See, I don't know everybody's needs. I look out and I know most of your faces, but I don't know your needs, and I don't know where your heart's at, and I don't know what your desire is. But as we come down to verse 22, before that it talks about how Jesus fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. I'm not going to preach from that, but I want you to know and understand this. Why did Jesus do that? Because they had a need. Amen. They were hungry. They had a need. Jesus knew their need. He supplied their need. He fed some 5,000 men plus the women and children. And I thought, because they had a need. And I thought about what the blessing of God could be about our needs this morning. If He fed 5,000 plus, I believe He can take care of our needs this morning. I truly believe that whatever need you had, God could take care of it. He could uplift you. He could strengthen you. He could restore the joy, whatever the need might be. But when we think about Him feeding 5,000 plus the women and children, He filled their need. My need's not quite that big this morning as yours. But God can fill these needs. In verse 22, 14 and 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, I've preached the walking on the sea. I've preached Peter getting out of the ship. But I want you to think about now about this ship. It was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I want you to think about troubled times in your life, the ship being tossed in this way and that way, and think about all this going on. And there was fear. I mean, they had fear inside this ship because they thought at any time it was going to break up. And verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And if you're here this morning in a troubled ship, if you're here tossed with the waves and tossed by the storms of life, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is on the way right now. Jesus is coming, and he's going to tell you, "Be not afraid, it is I." I thought, what a blessing we have from God when God talks to us and says, "The Lord Jesus is on the way." You tossed, you're in the midst of a storm, you got trouble in life, Jesus is on the way. And Peter answered him, said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, "Say, Lord, save me." And I thought about the words that he spoke. "Lord, save me." He had a need. He was going under. He was going down. Nothing else could save him. So he called on Jesus. You know, we're in a world today that wants to call on everything and everybody except Jesus, when he's the one that can save you. No other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, Jesus Christ, for salvation. You think, I'll get better on my own. No, probably not. It's going to take Jesus. It said it when he started to cry, he said, "Save me." And there was no waiting. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, I want you to notice verse 32. And when they, notice this, and when they were coming in the ship, the wind ceased. Where did Jesus take Peter? Back to the ship. Praise God. Isn't it good to know that if you're in a ship that's tossed, if you're in a ship that's in the midst of a storm, if your life seems out of hand, isn't it good to know that Jesus is in the ship with you? I'm glad to know he's in the back of my boat. Praise the Lord. Let the storms come. Let the trouble mount up. Jesus can handle it. But notice, Jesus didn't just lift him back up on top of the water. He put him back in the ship. If you're out of ship, you need to go back. You need to get back. I've got one or two more verses I want to talk to you about this morning. In Acts chapter 3. We're going to talk about the lame man. I've had opportunity through the years to preach about the miracle of healing. I've had opportunities to preach about a lot of things. This morning, my mind's on the temple. It's about the temple. I want us to talk about this temple that this lame man went to pretty much every day, just quite often. He'd go down to the temple. He'd been doing it some 40 years. And for 40 straight years, he had found it the same every time he went. Oh, they were good people down there. Praise God, they were good people down there. They'd give him a few pennies here, a few pennies there, and he was getting by. There's good people down at the temple. And it had been going on for 40 years. Nothing had changed. The same thing every time he went. Same thing. Over and over and over. And that's what the temple was. Until Peter and John showed up and obeyed the leadership and Spirit of God, and the temple changed from that day forward. I want to see a change in our churches. That we're not routine. We're not the same every day. But yet we're moving forward for the cause of Christ. I love our church. praise God, next year about December 31st, I'm going to love it more because we're going to change and reach out to a lost and dying world. We're going to do it through tract ministries. We're going to do it through home visitation. We're going to do it through letting people see that we're faithful to what we do. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, now when Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So some 40 years. He'd been doing the same thing, going down. He's staying outside the temple. They walk by. They give him a few shillings, a few pieces of money, whatever it might be, that he might buy bread for one more day. The same thing every day for 40 years. Routine. Y'all want me to use the real word? Boring. Anybody shocked? I've been in a lot of boring church services. Preach type of them. But you know, you learn from experience. New things to learn. Here's this man going down there, same thing every time he went, same thing every time he went, same thing. I want different. I want improved. I want uplifted that we carry out the ministry that God has blessed this church to have. And what a wonderful ministry it is. It said, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He calls attention to them. He said, look on us. I like that. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. I want you to notice, he said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have I'll give you. He said, such as I have I give thee. And I got thinking about the change in the temple. This temple been the same 40 years. Same thing going on, over and over and over. All of a sudden, here comes two men into the temple, and because they're willing to give what God had blessed them with and use what God gave them talents with, I'm telling you, the temple changed forever. I don't believe it was ever the same again. Once that man got to his feet and went to shouting up and down the highways, and praising and leaping God as it says he did, I don't believe it's ever the same again. That temple was marked as a different place. All because two people did what God asked them to do and shared the gift that God had given them. God had given them the gift of healing. I want you to imagine a situation. Here comes Peter and John. They look over at the blind man. They look over at the blind man. They just kind of glance at him. They don't want him to catch him looking at him. You know. He's over here. He's got trouble. They just kind of glance and just keep walking. Keep walking. He'd have still been sitting lame. And the temple would have still been the same. But because they were willing to do what God asked them to do, to participate in what God asked them to do. You know, I thought how blessed we are to be a smaller church. I thought how God had blessed us to be a smaller church that everybody here can have a part. You know, if you went to a 5,000 person church, they probably don't need everybody. I want to tell you, New Salem Baptist Church needs all of you. Every one of you. You're all important. You all make a difference. And we all need to work together. I love this football thing. Are you all in? Are you all in? It's time we get all in, New Salem Baptist Church. It's not going to be hard on anybody if we all participate. And how blessed you are. You can have a place to participate. Yeah. If you was in a 5,000-person church, they may not need some of y'all, but we need them all. I want us to get all in, that we deliver the the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, whether we deliver it through this pulpit, or we deliver it out to the store, or out at the community center, or at your workplace, or at your family, that we deliver the message of Jesus Christ crucified. We're going to do some things to help you with it. Like I said, we're going to have a track ministry starting pretty soon. We've got a new youth director coming in pretty soon. And so many things we've got plans and visions to do in the next year. And you know why we're doing that? That your loved ones might be saved. Amen. That my loved ones might be saved. I always knew when I came here, I knew that this church would make a difference. We have made a difference in many things. We have made a difference. I heard a testimony of a young lady thanking us for what we did and helping Christmas. She said she wasn't good at speaking. I could hear her heart. And we've done a lot of good things. I've saw a lot of souls saved. I've baptized numerous people back here. I've saw people become dedicated to the church. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think we're finished yet. I don't think God is through with my ministry at this church. And my ministry is to increase and move ahead. Are y'all in? It's that simple. Are y'all in? I want people, when they come visit this church, that they go away and say, that's exceptional. That's above average. Johnny, when I was talking to him, he said, you get in one of those churches that's exceptional or above average. He said, we sure have a good thing. He said, you can tell the difference. And I'm a firm believer in that. You can tell the difference. You know when God's in it and God's not. This lame man, because Peter and John were willing to use what God gave them. Now there's a trick. A lot of people's got talents. A lot of people's got abilities. A lot of people's got a way of prayer. A lot of people's got so many things. And when we prepare ourselves to come in and share that in the house of God, it will be different. I'm going to close right there. If y'all, Chris, how about leading us to some? You would. Focus on the temple. As they're coming to the instruments, and Chris is going to lead a psalm, I'll ask if you would to stand to your feet. And anybody got a need in this church, God can handle it. I thought about the need that 5,000 men had. They were hungry, and God and Jesus handled it. You know, so your problem may not be quite that drastic. Your problem may not be quite that large, but Jesus don't. He's not going to make a difference in it. He'll solve your problem the same way that he solved the problem of those 5,000 hungry men that day. Jesus can handle it. He's my Savior. He's my hero. Jesus can handle it. Anybody that's got a need today, y'all come on down. What a day it'd be. Last day of the service, see somebody saved, maybe somebody join the church. Whatever the need might be. Amen. You just got problems and trouble. Praise the Lord. Jesus is going to take care of that today. He's on the way.
He's going to pick you up, put you right back in the ship. He's going to give you safety and security of His hands. God will be with you through this. God, just help her, Lord. Just give her grace, Father. Give her strength. Give her courage. As she faces the things of the world, just let her know that you've overcome the world. That, God, you're greater and stronger. God, in Jesus' name. Very good. Very much. Thank you, Chris, for leading and singing. The musicians, good job today. Thank you, everybody, for coming this way. Hope you feel like you've been to church. You know, that's what it's about. You go out the back door and you feel a little different than you did when you came in because you've come in contact with God. That's what it's about. You know, I learned that a long time ago. If you don't have contact with God in a church service, then something's wrong, right? It's not a place of that we just come to party or have a good time. We come to meet God. And I hope you feel like you've met the Lord today. I proclaim victory in the name of Jesus. Not because what we do, but because what He did on the cross of Calvary. Victory in the name of Jesus. Okay, tonight, got something special. Something special tonight. We're going to have church, but we're going to have a little bit added to it. Joyce's daughter, Heather, it's come to give her testimony. I don't know if y'all know Heather that much or not, but praise God, it's good to see her on this side of the jail bars, ain't it? She had an addiction, which a lot of us got an addiction, and she had a drug addiction. I'm just going to tell you plain. She'll tell you all this tonight, but there's a lot of us got other addictions, not just drugs. We've got addiction to a lot of things that hinder us from the work of God. And if you've got an addiction and something you want to escape from, why don't you come listen to this young lady? Praise the Lord, by God's grace, by the power of God, she's going to stand right here tonight and tell you how God cleaned her life up and how God put her back on the right track with a husband and faithful in church. Praise the Lord, that's what we're about. You know, that's what we're after. So she's going to be here tonight, and anybody can come listen to her and pray for her. That I'm thankful. When she approached me, the thing she's got about this, she said, I may help somebody else. It might help somebody else. Well, that's what we're preaching here, helping somebody else. All right, any word, anything before we go?